Okay, if you would turn to Hebrews 11:3, I'm just going to share a few verses this morning, and the teaching today is God's Rhema word. Rhema, and that's the transliteration of a Greek word. It's R-H-E-M-A, God's Rhema word, doorway to the miraculous, part one. I really believe, folks, that the Rhema word is the key to the supernatural power in our life. And I really want to emphasize over time that as we learn to hear the Rhema, the quickened word, recognize it, move in it, guess what? God can release the things we're crying out to him supernaturally. And we're going to look at a couple of scriptures that validate this. Hebrews 11:3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. That word in the Greek is the rhema of God. So the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. It's interesting that the universe was created by a spoken word of God. And what rhema really means, let me give you the definition. The definition, it denotes that which is spoken or uttered. It's from the Greek word rhea, which means to flow or run like water. And literally, the root meaning of rhema is flowing of water. So a lot of times there are instances in the scripture where one says, I heard the voice of the Lord God, and it sounded like the rushing of mighty waters. I think Ezekiel and everyone said that the voice of God sounded like the rushing of mighty waters. Interestingly enough, rhema means, comes from the word, root word meaning flowing of water. And out of his belly, Jesus said, out of our belly, he wants to flow what? Rivers of what? So God wants us to speak the rhema. We've got to learn to hear the rhema, be still, and know that I'm God. Hear the still, small voice, so we can speak the rhema. And when you learn to speak that which was spoken to you, when you learn to do that which you saw the Father doing, you learn to release what he's releasing to you. That's where you can lay hands on the sick. You can cast out demons. You can multiply the bread and fish. And we saw that Friday night. We saw an interesting story is, we all believe that in the gospel, particularly in Mark 6, when Jesus multiplied the bread and fish, we all believe that Jesus multiplied the bread and fish. Are you believing that, that Jesus multiplied the bread and fish? He didn't. He didn't. If you look carefully in chapter 6 of Mark, it says Jesus, had he done it, he'd have thrown a piece of bread down going, Shazam, and there's a big pile of bread. Everybody come. No, what he did is he gave it to his disciples. Listen. And they dispersed it to the crowd. You understand? He gave it to them, and it actually multiplied in their hands. And then the next miracle, okay, they're out in the boat, and there's a storm, and he shows up, remember? And the storm stops. He's walking on the water. And it says he rebuked them because of their little faith. It says, for their heart was hardened because they didn't understand what he'd done with the multiplying of the bread and the fish. You read that, Mark 6, and he said, what does that mean? Their heart was hardened because he doesn't understand what happened with the multiplying of the bread and the fish when they were in a storm and they were amazed that he could stop it. What was it they didn't understand? I think what they didn't understand was that he didn't do it, they did it. The multiplying happened in their hands. He blessed it. He thanked the Father for it. But when he gave it to them, it was through their hands that it multiplied. Remember, there was actually 12 baskets left over. It like instant, every one of them had leftovers. So what's fascinating is what they didn't understand that was in their hands, not only could the bread be multiplied, but their heart was hardened because when the next challenge came and a storm came, it was in their hands to stop the storm. He was trying to teach them. And he says, I've given you power. And he was frustrated because of the lack of faith. And so the Lord wants to teach us that he wants to speak the rhema, but not so we can be healed and set free, but so we can speak the rhema. To lay hands on the sick, to cast out demons. Can I, amen? So a spoken word created the universe. Y'all remember what the spoken word was in Genesis 1? What did God say to create? The first word he said out of his mouth to create the universe. Let there be. Look at Psalm 33:6. This is a great verse. Amazing little verse. Tucked up in the middle of the psalm. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them the breath of his mouth. Amazing verse. Let me tell you what happened. When God, I want to show, there's a phenomena, you may not be aware of this, but I want everybody to put your hand right in front of your mouth and say something. Something. Now, what did you feel? Breath. When you spoke the word, your breath was part of it. See, it's interesting. The Scripture talks about the Spirit and the Word. The Spirit speaks of the breath of God. It literally, the word in the Greek and Hebrew in the Old Testament's ruach, in the New Testament's pneuma, it literally means a breath or a wind. And it's when the Word and the Spirit touched, there was creation. See, the heavens were made with the Word. The whole, it was when He said, "Let there be light." It's like the Word touched the Spirit, and there was creation. And that's what rhema is. Rhema is, the Scripture talks about the logos. It's a Greek word, and it basically speaks of the written, the inscribed word, the passed down word, the word that it's essential to know, to fill our minds with, to fill our heart with. But once you have the logos, then there's something called the quickened word, the inspired word, the revelatory word, the enlightened word, the enlivened word, the word that sticks out. And that's happened to all of us. I know you read the Scripture, and all of a sudden something sticks out. And you go, whoa, dude. I mean, it hits right. That's a rhema. And that's why I love reading the one-year Bible. It seems like God's got rhemas tucked in the one-year Bible curriculum in the Scripture that are always applicable to some area in my life. You know, if you don't read the Word, guys, on a daily basis, you're missing so much from God, because He's got a rhema for you to get you through the day. How many of y'all know Jesus said man does not live by bread alone, but by every what? Did you know that word is rhema? He says man does not live by every rhema from the mouth of God. Notice the rhema from the mouth of God. He said that to the devil when the devil was trying to tempt him. And he was quoting there from the Old Testament, I believe in Deuteronomy 6. He said man lives by the rhema. You need rhema every day. We need the living word every day. The rhema, the perfect type of rhema is the manna. They would get up every morning and they would pick up the manna. And they slept in. I don't understand whatever manna was. It was really soft, light bread, because as soon as the sun came up, it melted into the grass. And it was gone. And I really believe if you want a rhema from God, it was incumbent upon you to get the discipline to get up early and seek out something about early in the morning. I notice my phone doesn't quite ring as much early in the morning. Now, please don't start calling me now that I've said that. I notice everything's quiet early this morning. I was reflecting this morning. I had a good quiet time. Got up early. Went and sat in my chair. It's right where I can see the sunrise. I love to beat the sun in the morning. See which one of us will get up first. I beat him today. Praise God. And get them begin singing and praising God in the morning and spend an hour with Jesus, everyone. It's a secret to my life. The secret to my life is really simple. I learned years ago to get up every day and spend time with Jesus. Hello? Is that profound or what? It's that simple, whether I feel like it or not. And there are more times I don't feel like it than that I do. But I've learned the discipline. And to get still and to read His Word and meditate on Him and give Him my day. And some days are bummer days, but they're a lot lighter days if I give them to Him first in the morning. And listen to that rhema word. Some mornings I don't get squat. Some mornings I get clear rhema words. I'm just grateful for being in the posture to get them when I get them. Because I can't work them up. But boy, sometimes I get them. Supernatural clarity, perspective, insight, discernment that I need to get me through. And I found if I don't access that rhema live word first thing in the morning, the day becomes a drudgery. You know, some of y'all remember ping pong? No, not ping pong. I'm sorry. Those games you used to play with the buttons on both sides. No, it was, you'd put a quarter in and your ball would dun, 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 dun. Pinball. Some of y'all like pinball all day long. You know, bang, 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 bang. And you're finally getting down and bang, somebody pops you back up again. You know, that's your day. Y'all hear me? You know, God wants to put you where you just slide right on through without all that hassle. Look at Luke 1:30. The rhema word. You know, I want to share something while you turn there. Listen. Not only was the universe, listen carefully, created by the rhema, you know it says in Hebrews 1:3 that He upholds all things by the word of His power. Did you know, listen, the universe is held up by the rhema, the spoken word of God. Everything is dependent upon the rhema. I really believe the Lord wants to speak rhema words to us far more than we realize. We just don't avail ourselves of them. And here's another thing. I believe the Lord does speak rhema words to us and we ignore them. Or we're not taking advantage of. We're not speaking upon. We're not recognizing God just spoke. And we don't act on Him. And you know, if you don't act on Him, at some point He's not going to speak anymore. I believe that God is giving us rhema words. I really do believe this in many contexts in our life, far more than church. I believe God will give you a rhema word when you're out in public. I believe God will give you a rhema word when you're standing in lines at Food Town. I believe God will give you a rhema word when you're at work, when you're walking down the hall to use the restroom and you pass somebody in the hallway. God will give you rhema words. I believe God will give you rhema words when you're on the phone with somebody you don't know. God will give you rhema words. And he's saying, I'm speaking to you because I want you to be available to minister signs and wonders to this person. But a good place to learn it is here. Amen? To learn to hear, to allow God's power to move through you, the supernatural anointing to flow through you. And to recognize it's not you. The secret to healing really is simply accessing the rhema word. It's not anything special. I have yet to figure out how to heal anybody. I just don't know how to do it. I don't know how to do squat. I mean, you can't heal a headache. But I've learned to wait and listen and cry out to Jesus and listen what he's saying. And often he'll come with healing or something else. Luke 1:30. An angel appears to Mary. I want you to see this carefully. And the angel said to Mary, "Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God." That's key. Notice that. Found favor with God. All right? See that? You might want to underline that. She found favor with God. I'm going to tell you something. The key to the rhema is to find favor with God. 1 John 3 says, anything you ask, you shall receive, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. When we do things that are pleasing in his sight, we're more likely to get rhema. If you got 3 kids and one of them is just stubborn and stupid, and keeps walking in traffic and doing dumb things, you're less likely to give him the car keys than the other. Can I amen? Not that you love him any less, but there's going to be less favor, responsibility delegated to the one who's less obedient, submissive, and faithful. Well, this young lady found favor, so the angel appeared, said, "You found favor." I think God was looking around, which young version shall I manifest the Messiah through? Here's one that I found favor. The eyes of the Lord look to and fro across the earth. 2 Chronicles 16. To whom he can show himself strong. He found one who had a heart for God. Verse 31. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. His name will be Jesus. Look at verse 36. And behold, your cousin Elizabeth, she's conceived a son in her old age. And this is the 6th month who was called barren. Now I want you to look carefully. Verse 37 is a fascinating verse. King James reads, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." Let me ask you, how do your versions read verse 37? Anybody else? Would you say? Or Linda? Okay, what version is that? It's a Bible. I don't know, it's a Bible. For every promise, you know, that's really closer to the Greek. Let me tell you the Greek in this particular line here. This is really fascinating. In the King James, it reads, "With God, nothing shall be impossible." The word "nothing" in the Greek is rhema. Let me tell you a literal rendering of that verse. You ready? The Amplified reads, "No word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment." In other words, the literal rendering of that verse is, it is God's rhema that is impossible to not be fulfilled. That's really, the King James leaves out that notion. You've got to look at some other versions, and it shows that no word is from God, the rhema, the literal word is rhema in the Greek, will fail to do what it needs to do. Now that's powerful, man. That is incredible. In other words, when I get a rhema, that's a word I can stand on. You know, there's this thing about standing on the Word of God. I'm claiming and standing on the Word of God. Well, the problem is people grab the Logos and stand on it. And I believe well-intentioned but misapplied. You can grab a Bible verse and stand on it. That doesn't mean it's a rhema word from God. See, people say, well, it says in the Word, by His stripes I'm healed. Therefore, I stand on that Word and I claim. Well, the person may die or they may get worse because the issue is not healing at all. It's bitterness and unforgiveness and rebellion. Hello? So when you stand on the rhema, when you listen to the rhema might be, if they will repent and turn from all their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and heal them. That's a rhema. Get an amen. Stand on that. But the Word of Faith philosophy is, no, you just pluck a Bible verse out like a buffet. You ever go to Luby's? Let's see. I want lots of that prosperity stuff right there. None of the suffering. I don't like that one. Can I have? Ooh, yeah. That's that double portion stuff. And will you give me a tall glass of mercy? That ain't the kingdom. You know what the kingdom is? The kingdom buffet is like it was when I was in grammar school. In grammar school, there was these ladies behind the buffet that had hairnets, and you just held your tray. Boom. Plop. Plop. Am I right? You get what you're going to get. You don't get to pick it. Amen? We're bond slaves. You get what Jesus wants to give you. But people don't like that. They'll pull the tray back. Thank you, but no. Well, if you did that, the nuns wouldn't let you have dessert. I won't tell you what kind of religion I was involved in. We were real crafty kids, though. If you had peas and you didn't like the peas, see, the nuns would check your plate to make sure it was empty so you could get the dessert. So we would take the peas. Now, kids, do not do this at home. And you'd push them under the table, squish them, where they would stick. Or the other thing, you'd open the milk carton. It's amazing how much food you could cram. And whatnot. All right, don't try this at home. She believes that she's praying for world peace. Okay, let's move on. Verse 38. Look at this. I want you to see this. And Mary said to the angel, when the angel said, look, Ramahs will never fail in what they're sent to do. Look, verse 38. Be it unto me according to thy Rhema. And the angel departed. You know what I love about this? It was because of her, the favor of God in her life, God spoke a rhema. She was privileged. Look, I'm telling you, I want the rhema of God. I want God to speak living words from heaven to me, living words of supernatural power. I want that. Guess what? That's up to God to give it to me. Ain't nothing I can do to get it on my own. It's purely God's pleasure to give me rhema to speak for my life, personal life, or others. Am I right? How many of y'all ever tried to con God? I made deals with God. Come on. We all make deals with God when you get backed in a corner. Okay, God, okay, I'll obey. I'll obey, I promise. I'll do what you've been saying all this time. I'll obey. And the pressure comes off. What was I saying? Come on. That's the old fire extinguisher God. You know, you love the Lord. He's hanging right on the wall. And when you ever get a fire, you run over there and you use him to put it out. You hang him back up again. Amen? You know, God wants to be more than a fire extinguisher in your life. He's grateful. I mean, he's gracious. He'll put the fire out. But he's really said, please don't hang me back on the wall. It's getting quiet in here. God speaks rhemas or supernatural power. You ready? Discriminatorily. As men are pleasing in his sight. He discriminates. In fact, there's a verse in, I'm going to show you that, right here in 1 Corinthians 12. I'll show you the discriminating verse. God discriminates. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, turn the gifts of the Spirit. By the way, the gifts of the Spirit, they're all rhemas. The gifts of the Spirit are momentary anointings for momentary needs. They're in rhemas, supernatural empowerment, healing, miracles, prophetic, the rhemas. But look at this. And verse 7, that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. But verse 11, all these works at one in the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. And the manifestation, the word means manifestation, festivity, and manus means hand. It literally means the dancing hand. That's what it means. The dancing hand of God dances over the body, and it touches this one, and it hits that one, and it moves on that one. He moves discriminatorily. Hey, how come I don't ever get words? He says, well, son, when you're faithful with that which I've given you, I'll give you much. He says, if you can't be faithful with the unrighteous mammon, who will give you the true riches? You want to move in signs and wonders, and you don't even know how to tithe yet. That's what it says, Luke 16. If you're not going to be faithful with the unrighteous mammon, who's going to give you spiritual riches? This is what Christ said. I didn't say it. It's in your Bible, in red letters. Two more places, Hebrews 6:4. This is just part one. I'm going to hammer on this over a period of time. I want to just make, so we can leave each week with a significant principle in our mind and hopefully walk in it. I'm just laying down the principle today, what the Rhema is. It's a doorway to the miraculous. Hopefully this week, you and I, we will be more sensitive to the Rhema's words from God. And by the way, rhema sometimes comes with repent. John 16 says the Spirit comes to bring conviction. How does that read? The Spirit will come, he'll bring sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. I'm sorry, my brain just went blank right there. I'm buying that blank demon. But the Spirit will come with comfort, a cleansing, a conviction. Or the supernatural. You understand? So sometimes you got to hear the rhema of nailing you before empowering you. So you got to be, you want to hear the rhema. Lay hands and they will rise. Yeah, but first he wants to say, you arise at 5:15. Huh? Are you obedient in the little to be faithful in the much? It depends. He grants his rhema discriminately based upon those to whom he walks in his favor and are pleasing unto him. Folks, it really is a race. And there's a lie out there that somehow it's all equal. It's not equal. We all have an equal opportunity in the beginning. He says that. But he also, we all have an unequal opportunity. Matthew 25 says he gave all of them the same amount. Is that right? No. Matthew 25 says he gave 1 5 talents. What? 1 3, 1 1. But Luke 19 says he gave them all the same amount. Compare that. One he gave, in other words, in one sense, we all have different advantages and all the giftings. In another sense, we all start at the same place on the starting line. You understand? So we're all responsible. For Hebrews 6:4, look at this verse. For it's impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good rhema of God and the powers of the world to come. And he goes on to talk about, man, once you've really come into all this and you turn your heart and run back, it's very difficult to come back to repentance. But the point I want to make is verse 5, he likens the rhema of God to the world powers of the world to come. Let me tell you what, it is the good rhema. He says the good rhema of God is the secret to the powers of the world to come. Folks, notice the linkage. What rhema is you can access millennial blessings now. In the millennial reign, there'll be no sickness. The lame will leap as a hart. The blind eyes will be open. The leaves of the trees are the healings of the nations. I talked about that in Sunday school today, about the millennial blessing, the millennial reign, the glory of the millennial reign. I believe the rhema is the powers of the world to come in this world. He says that in Ephesians, tasted of the powers of the world to come. First fruits of the Spirit. The whole era of the Word Faith movement can be summed up with this. They have presumptuously assumed all the blessings of the millennial reign are in this dispensation. They're not. They're not. You can't categorically presume that. But God in his mercy does drop blessings of the kingdom to come. That's why he says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then heaven will be like earth, earth will be like heaven. But now it's a first fruits. It's a discriminatory blessing. I think it's nothing more than like Christ showed up doing certain miracles in certain times to capture men's hearts to follow him to go to the cross. Now when he comes back, everybody gets healed. In fact, the leaves of the trees have healing in them. But in this dispensation, he discriminatorily releases an anointing out of a blessing to win people's hearts. It's the same thing. We need signs and wonders in this realm, just like back in Jesus' day. We need, particularly in a city full of religious demons like this city, we need people blind eyes open. The deaf hearing, the lame walking, supernatural power, we need that here. Because there's so much unbelief and religious crust. It'll wake people up. Wow, Jesus is alive. Jesus still does stuff like that. And how could he do it in me? So that's what it is. It's a millennial blessing to access realms of, listen, healing, power over the elements, and over death itself. Healing and power over the elements. You know, I know if I opened up this mic and we all got up and talked about those, particularly those who have been walking with the Lord any length of time, testimonies of how not only you've seen people healed, but have you moved in power over the elements? Were you actually, through the name of Jesus, in a particular situation, affected in signs and wonders the weather, the climate, other situations? If you walk with Jesus any length of time and been out there and radical, you've had experiences like that. I have. It's phenomenal. But at the moment when it's happening, there's a real need, a desperate need for the kingdom, and it occurs. You don't just work it up. And it's a rhema to do something supernatural. Can you hear an amen? You can't just go, early morning, I think I want to just go for a walk, fix it. Clouds go. I mean, you know, they might go, but probably not. But we've certainly seen a blessing over events with new wine over the years. It's phenomenal. Over many, many years, how God will clear things up just to bless our little family church to experience good weather for fellowship time. Last place we're going to look, John 6:66. Y'all ready? John 6:66. It's interesting that John 6:66 has a negative connotation to it. Could that be a coincidence? Start of verse 61. And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at what he was saying, I love this, he was just saying things like, except you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life. For some reason, this offended him. He said, well, look at this verse. Does this offend you? What and if you will see the Son of Man float up in the air? Now, we'll look carefully. He says, this is offending you? One day, you're going to see me just float up in the air. And then he says, listen carefully, it is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Notice this, the words I speak to you are what? Spirit and life. See, the rhema is the spoken word of Jesus that is spirit. These guys were bogged down in the intellect. He was speaking spiritual language. You know, even Nicodemus couldn't get it. He said, you must be born again. So, well, how can you, when you've been born, do you have to go back in your mother? Just Nicodemus, if I speak of you earthly things and you don't understand, how shall you understand heavenly things? He says, and what do you do when your Son of Man who came down from heaven goes back to heaven and is in heaven right now? And Nicodemus was looking at this guy. Jesus said, if you don't understand earthly things, how are you going to understand heavenly things? I'm the Son of Man that was in heaven, and it's come down from heaven, and I'm in heaven right now. And Nicodemus is looking at him. Well, I'm here on earth, and you're in heaven. See, Jesus, as far as Jesus was concerned, he lived from heaven. Everything he did was from a heaven. Do you understand? And you say, well, where is that? Well, Ephesians 2 says, we are seated with him where? Philippians says, where our conversation is in heaven. In fact, in Colossians 3 says, your life is dead and hid with Christ in God. We are called to live from the heavenlies. The problem is we live from the earthlies. We take everything earth. And Jesus says, how can I speak to you of heavenly things? Your mind's all bogged down in the slug, in the bog. I'm trying to speak to you heavenly things. These are heavenly truths, supernatural truths. Snap, wake up. In the spirit. Get out of the soulless realm. That's what spiritual warfare is all about, 2 Corinthians 10. Taking captive every thought to the obedience of Christ and bringing down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. The reason is our biggest enemy. Our logic and reason is our enemy. Well, that doesn't make sense that could happen because that's impossible. But didn't we say nothing's impossible with the rhema of God? So when you move in the rhema, this is what you ought to say. Say, that's impossible. It doesn't make sense unless Jesus shows up with a rhema. And if Jesus shows up with a rhema, anything's impossible. Am I right? So then say, let's pray. How do we pray? Oh Lord, come, speak thy word. And I love my favorite story of that is Peter out in the boat. And Jesus is standing on the water having a conversation. Standing on the water talking. How would you? You're sitting in a boat, a guy standing on the water, and you're talking to him. Okay? And Peter says, because apparently it's a misty morning, he says, Lord, if it be you, bid me come. Read carefully. Bid me come. Because Peter knew the only way I can get out of the water is I need a rhema. I need you to speak something. So when Jesus said, come, was that a rhema? But Peter said, I ain't getting out of this boat till I get a word from you. And when he said, come, he got out, walked over there. Of course, we all focus on the fact that after he was out there, he'd start freaking. Well, who wouldn't? At least he was the one. Where were the other guys? Okay, at least he understood. I need a rhema. And you know, a lot of us are sitting on the edge of the boat, Here's Jesus. We know Jesus is supernatural. God can do anything in the universe. He created the universe for crying out loud with his breath in his mouth. And we're sitting in the boat. I was saying, oh, Jesus, do it, do it. And he's saying, look, I'll do it, but you need a word for me. Ask me for a word, and then you do it. I want to multiply the bread and fishes through your hands. So you do it. So our good, legitimate prayer is to pray what Peter prayed. Say, Lord, we need your spirit to come. Send your spirit. Send your rhema. We need a rhema. We need a living word. Because when Jesus has come, you can walk out on the water. Can you amen? And I reflected. I've learned. I said to the Lord once, Lord, sharpen my spiritual discernment that I recognize rhemas as they occur. The moment they're having, go, whoa, this is a rhema from God. I'm hearing the voice of God. Because at that point, I can do anything. All things are possible. At that moment. And what's unfortunate, he speaks a lot of them, they just go right on by. And we missed the boat. We missed the boat. Last place, John 6:66. Unfortunately, from that point, it says, for Jesus, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. John 6:66. It freaked him out. Most people can't handle this kind of life. Thank you, but no thank you. I like the comfort of my religion. I don't want to be out on the edge like most of the other 11 disciples back there. But Jesus said, verse 67, well, to the 12, will you also go away? Notice who it was that spoke. Who was it in the boat? Same guy. Well, you know, Peter sure had a foot and mouth disease. He had his problems, right? But one thing he had, that guy was gutsy, man. He was an entrepreneur risk taker guy. I like him. You know, he was a guy that would have just gone out there, getting a covered wagon. Honey, we're going west, right? Not to sit over here in the eastern seaboard and wait till the country, you know, and catch a continental flight. No, he was going to go and be a pioneer. God's looking for pioneers, people that got the risk. And so Peter says, well, Lord, to whom shall we go? Obviously, he's been thinking about it. For you have, you ready? The rhema, there it is, of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know what I love it? He says, you have the rhema. See, Peter said he'd experienced the rhema. He said, where else can we go? You are the living word. We can do anything when you speak, Jesus. Folks, in conclusion, rhema is the doorway to the miraculous. And it's reserved. You ready? Who gets the rhema? The radical, risk-taking, sold-out ones. And you know, a lot of times, one of the reasons you're not getting rhema, let me tell you, one of the reasons you haven't seen much happening in your life from God, signs and wonders of supernatural, it's just because the Holy Ghost is coaxing you to come out on the edge, man. Get out from the back of the boat and be radical, sold out, pedal to the metal. Let's all stand. I want you to pray. I want you to pray right now. What I want you to do, the Lord's been impressing me this, I'm going to do something different. It's so easy, like after something like this, to pray for yourself. But we're going to do something different. Put your hand on the person to your left. Now, I want you to begin to pray for that person. Come on. I want you to pray for the person on your left. Now, if you happen to be on the end of the line, pray for whoever's across the aisle. I want you to pray for them right now with all your heart. Oh, Jesus, give them spiritual light, spiritual revelation. Open their spirit to hear your voice. Come on, get out of yourself and pray for somebody else this morning. Pray. Cry out to God. Lord, come. Pray for that person. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Oh, Jesus, hear. Call. Go to the Lord and call him by name. Say, Lord, this person I'm praying for, I may not know him, but I pray in your mercy you do whatever it takes that they could break through and begin to hear and move and have the courage to move and power anointing and hear the supernatural. Pray to Jesus. God loves it when we pray for somebody else. Jesus, do it. Now turn around. I want you to pray for the person on your right. Pray for them. Bring their name before the Lord. If you don't know their name, just say, Lord, you know their name. Ask Jesus to open their minds, open their hearts, open their spirits to hear the voice. of the living God. The Spirit would break through the earthquake, wind, and fire, and they'd hear this still small voice that could release power and deliverance. Jesus, pray. Hold them before the Lord. Pray for David, Lord. Come, Lord. Anoint him, Lord. Release my brother, Lord. Open his eyes and ears and spirit and heart and mind, Father. Oh, Lord, have mercy on my brother. Encourage him, Lord. Quicken truth to him, Lord. Open his spiritual eyes to see. Okay, now I want you to do this. I want you to put your hands on yourself right there on your heart or on your head or whatever. And you pray for yourself right now. Say, oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Cry out to Jesus. Jesus, I want to be open in the spirit. I'm tired of living a boring, real life in the reason realm. I want to be in the supernatural realm. Open me, Lord. Pray for the Holy Ghost, whatever he wants to bring you, folks. It may be conviction. Nail you to the wall. It may be he wants to bless you. It may lead you to repentance through goodness or severity. Whatever. Say, Jesus, whatever it takes. I don't want to miss the boat. I don't want to sit in the back of the boat and miss the glory of this one life and then be slaughtered for eternity in a lesser blessing. Oh, Jesus, have mercy. Ignore me, Lord. Ignore my selfishness and pettiness, Lord. Break through with conviction of rhema into my life. Cry out to Jesus this morning. Okay, now I want us all just to lift our hands and worship him. Let's give him thanks. Worship Jesus. Worship Jesus. Holy I. Oh, come with your spirit, Lord. Come with your spirit, Lord. Lord, hear our cry. Hear our cry. Hear our cry, Lord. Worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. Now, why are you worshiping? If anybody needs any healing right now, any physical healing, raise. Well, you already got your hands. Everybody lower your hands. Keep worshiping. Who needs physical healing? Raise your hand right now, wherever you're standing. Wherever you are, keep your hands straight up. Now turn around and put your hands on these people, folks. Come on. Nothing special. Just lay out one person. Just put your hands on them. Lord, we pray right now in your mercy. Come with your rhema. Come, Lord, touch in your mercy. Heal. Heal, Lord. In your mercy, I pray for healing. We come against the curses and the infirmity, sickness and diseases. We take the power this morning into the Lord Jesus. Generational iniquities and infirmities and afflictions, we take them in Jesus' name. Father, we pray in your mercy. Drop healing, Lord. Supernatural empowerment of healing. Oh, Shatalamanandi. Have mercy, Father. We pray for an anointing of healing. I sent something in the room. A flow of healing, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus. I pray for little Jeffrey who's not here, Lord, that you flow that anointing to that little one. Lord, come with healing this morning, Lord. Just cry out to the Lord with a meekness and a humility. Lord, in your mercy. Mercy drops of healing and grace. Touch, Lord. Touch, Lord. Touch, Lord. Touch, Lord, in Jesus' name. Jesus. Holy Cationdolo. Come, Lord. We bind in the name of Jesus the infirmity, diseases. I break the power. Name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Generational curses of witchcraft and occult power. I break its authority in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, come. If you're giving, if you're getting prayer, give thanks right now. Just thank him for whatever he's done or doing. Just thank him, man. Just be grateful for whatever he does. He always does something. Moving you a little bit closer to how he wants to bless and release you. Lord, come with power and healing this morning in our lives. Oh, shindalakita la boronde de Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. mercy, Lord. Touch. Let your spirit go deep down inside and touch and heal, deliver, set free, release. Jesus. Amen. Go in peace in Jesus' name. God bless you. Don't forget.